Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Oh, isn't God so good to us? He's so good, loves you so much. Let's be glad. Amen. Got a Bible full of gift cards. That's always a nice thing, isn't it? That's always a nice thing. Could be worse. The Word's always good. I just sent Pastor Devine to get my phone for me because this morning when I was reading my devotional, and it was just so good, and as I was standing here just worshiping God, I just felt like the Lord said to share the devotional. That's the power of a good devotional. I just encourage everybody should find one that speaks to you, that ministers to you, and use it. And they're called daily because we're supposed to do them how often?
Daily.
That's just brilliant, isn't it? We're on fire this morning. But there's a lot of good ones. If you don't have one, they're free. You can get them sent right to your phone, or you can do it old school with the actual pages. However you want to do it, the important thing is that you do it. And so this morning, Julia, will you go help Devon find my phone, please? it's on my desk. But this morning I was reading in Rick Renner's Sparkling Gems. Who reads Sparkling Gems? I know a lot of us read that. And it's so good. And when you first hear the title, it's kind of, you know, you don't understand what it means. But it's just pulling the gems of the Bible out and explaining them to you more fully. But while I was reading this morning, he was talking about getting just a fresh fire, a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit, just a freshness. Amen. And he was telling us, you know, he's a Greek scholar. He speaks Greek, reads Greek, translates Greek. He knows Greek. So when we say it's Greek to me, it really is Greek to him. He understands that. And so when he does his devotional, one of the great parts about it is he explains it more fully because he explains the fullness of the words that we're using. How many have ever used a word a whole bunch of times and then you looked it up in the dictionary and reminded yourself what it really means? And it just brings you a fuller understanding of it. Words that we use all the time. And so he was talking about where the Bible says that we are strengthened by his might in Ephesians. How many know we're strengthened by his might? But he was saying that his power, the power of God, that word, it's a locator. It shows us where it is. It's locked up in Christ. The power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of that anointing is locked up in Christ. But here's the thing. Here's a really great part. Guess where we are? We're in Christ. Amen. Amen. And so, thank you, Jesus. A what? A deep, yeah, I do. I do have a deep, messy purse. Thank you very much. He called it twice just to find it. That's dedication right there. All right. I want to read this part to you because he just says it's so good. He says, you see, the fresh touch of power each of us needs today is as close as the air we breathe. God designed us to be the receptacles for his power, so he wants us to receive it. He knows we need it to walk in victory, to exercise authority in our lives, and to overcome the works of the devil. But where do we get that supernatural power? Paul answers this question in Ephesians 6:10 when he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And he says the phrase in the Lord is a Greek phrase that means that his special infusion of dynamic supernatural power can be found in only one place, in the Lord. And he says the fact that Paul wrote it in this particular Greek case is very important because it tells us that power is locked up in the person of Jesus Christ, that it can't be found anywhere else. He says you can't obtain this supernatural power by reading books or listening to tapes. The books and tapes, that's how old it is, tapes. The books and tapes can direct you to the place where it can be found, but the power itself can only be obtained through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The power is locked up in the Lord. Oh, and then it gets to the real, I'll skip down a little bit, gets to the good part. And he says, but that power, where are we at? We are locked up with him. We are in Christ. And so that power is right there. And he goes on to give an illustration like fish in an aquarium. A fish in an aquarium. How many of you have ever seen an aquarium? How many of you ever seen fish in it? Does it look like the fish are trying really hard to get into the water? No, why? Because they're already in the water. So you don't have to try really hard to get into the power of God because you're already in Christ Jesus. Amen. You're already where the power is. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to deserve it. Look at your neighbor and say, that's good for you. That's good for you. Some of us, all of us need to be like, thank God. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to deserve it. We are in it because we are in Christ Jesus. Amen. So how many need some power today? Need to power up a little bit. So let's say now at the end of every one of his devotions, he has a confession. And I'm going to read this. You be in agreement with it. Amen. Because it's kind of long. It says, I confess that a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit's supernatural power is never far away from me. A fresh surge of this power is as accessible to me as my next breath of air. Let's just all breathe in a breath. That was easy, wasn't it? Power of God is just like that. You're in it. He says, "The power. It's just as normal for me to receive a new infilling of the Spirit as it is for a fish to freely swim around in its tank. In fact, it's difficult for me not to receive this impartation of superhuman, supernatural strength for the fight because my heart is open to receive it. I ask God to release it into my life, and by faith, I now receive this divine power. It's mine for the taking." Somebody say, it's mine.
It's mine.
And I'm taking it.
I'm taking it.
You know what? You need that supernatural, superhuman power for the fight. How many know there's a fight? There is a fight for your soul. There's a fight for the victory that God has already given us. There's a fight for us. And you know what? We can receive that power. And I don't know about you, but when I read that this morning, I was like, ooh, I need that. I need that power. I need that fresh. You say, well, I already got filled with the Holy Ghost. Of course you got filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. But isn't it great to get a fresh infilling, right? Fresh infilling. It just boosts you. It's for the fight. And you know what? Some of you got a big fight. The enemy's been after you all week. You got a fight on the job. Persecution has come. Because you're a believer, and the Holy Spirit is who you need. Don't try to fight that fight on your own. You are not equipped. You are not equipped to fight the fight for your marriage on your own. You are not equipped to fight the fight for your children on your own. You are not equipped to fight any fight on your own. You need the power of God, and it is accessible to you. It is as accessible as the air you breathe because it is locked up in Christ Jesus. But thank God, in Ephesians, it says over 16 times, I am in Christ. I'm where the power is. I'm where the power is. I don't have to get to the power. I'm where the power is because I am in Christ Jesus. This is good preaching. I don't care whether you say amen or not. That is good preaching. I don't care. All right, praise the Lord. Well, here we go. We're going to get on to our message here. But before we do, we want to say congratulations to Grandma and Grandpa over here. The Imbrecos have a new baby. Hudson Gray was born. He was born not yesterday, the day before, right? 27th. So congratulations to you guys, new baby, and a boy. So pray for him because he's surrounded by girls. But anyway, oh, this is your first grandson. Oh, yeah, Luigi, what am I thinking? Don't tell Jessica I said that. Don't tell her. I'll be in trouble. Second grandson. And another girl in August. We're going to build this church one way or another, right? We got to do it from the ground up. We'll do it, right? But anyway, say congratulations to them after service. And excited for that. Teresa and Justin are up in North Carolina. And you know what? So proud of them. They grew up here in the church. Both of them got married church people. Somebody say amen. And now they're in full-time ministry, living out their dream up there in a great church. So proud of them. Now they have their first baby. So very excited. Pray for both of them, because how many know new parents always need lots of prayer, right? Amen. All right, turn over in your Bibles, if you will, to John chapter 1. We're talking about belonging. And we started this last week. If you weren't here, I would really encourage you to go online and listen to the message, because you know what? some of the things that you may be battling, some of the feelings, the emotions, the stuff you're going through, and you're trying to fix it with human things, you're trying to fix it with natural things, it's important for you to remember that every human being has a problem that does not have a human solution. We are hardwired. We are hardwired with a basic God-given need. Say need. Here's a need and a want are two different things. Because you can do without something that you just want, right? You can do without that. But you can't do without what you need. If you need it, you need it. You got to have it. And one of the things, we are designed, we are hardwired, we are made to need, to belong to something. And we learned last week that if you're not careful, you will belong wrong. You will be so... You are so hungry for the desire to be part of something that if we're not careful, we will settle for the wrong thing. We will settle for it. We'll compromise ourselves to say, well, I'm just going to go here because I feel like I belong there. But if that's not the place for you, you're belonging wrong. And when we belong wrong, we've compromised ourselves. That's where peer pressure comes from. And every single human being, no matter how cool you think you are, no matter how strong you think you are, you have, at some point or another in your life, you have been a victim or a product of peer pressure. You have laughed at something you didn't think was funny because everybody else was laughing. Right? You ever done that? Like, oh, I don't get that, but you know, everybody else is laughing. I don't get it, but I want to fit in, so I'm going to laugh too. Or even to a greater extreme, we have changed our personalities. We've changed how we look. We've changed how we dress. We've changed the wants that we had in life. We've cashed in our dreams just so we could belong with someone. You know, and this person does not go to our church. I promise you, my right hand of Jesus. You know, as soon as I tell a story, someone's like, I wonder who that is. You know, they don't go here anymore. They moved away years ago, years and years ago. And before we bought this beautiful building. But I remember there was a person, and they had a desire to serve God, just love the Lord with all their heart, loved God. A girl, she was a good friend of mine, and just loved God. And she wanted to serve and go on missions trips and do all these things. And I was going to Bible school, and she wanted to go to Bible school. But, you know, she never went to Bible school. You know why? Because of a boy. It's always those boys. You got to watch out for those boys. Those girls, too. But you know, I mean, this was such a huge dream and a huge desire and such a large part of her life and what she wanted and what, importantly to note, she believed God had called her to do. And she ended up marrying this guy who loved God, good guy, great guy, loved God, loved church, but he had no desire to serve God like she did. You know, she never went on a mission trip. To this day, she's never been on a mission trip. She's married. But she gave up a part of herself because she wanted to belong. And see, that's what happens if you, and I'm not saying she belonged wrong. I believe God worked that whole situation out. But she made a decision because we talked. And I was like, are you sure you want to do this? Because, you know, he's not into what you're into. And she said this. She said, I know, this is what she said to me. She said, I know that's what God's called me to. She said, but I'm willing to give that up for him. And she did. That was her choice. And here's a good thing about God. God will let you make that choice. And God will even, you know, there's God's perfect, good, and acceptable will. I don't think she was up in the top end there. But it was still acceptable. It's still acceptable. And that's kind of, some of you guys are like, what? What? That's another message. But, you know, the thing is that we can want to belong so much that we can say, you know what, I'm gonna, like she did, she consciously made a decision. She said, I know that will never be part of my life. And I'm okay with that. And that was her choice. That was her choice. But, you know, every time that we would leave and go somewhere, I could see in her eyes that she wanted nothing more to be going with us. And so we got to be careful that we don't compromise the desires of our heart that God has given us that we don't compromise the plan of God for us, that we don't compromise the standard of living that God has for us. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You know, grace is a great thing, but it does not change the standard of living that God has for us. And so we don't want to compromise and belong wrong just because I want to be part of something. Because when we understand that you already belong to something, amen? You already belong to the family of God. We talked about this last week. What it does, it fills you with a strength and a confidence to say, I can stand for the things God has for me. I don't have to compromise myself and belong wrong in any situation because I already belong in the family of God. I'm already part of something. You can't move me because I'm already part of something. Because what makes us compromise? I want to be part of that. Well, when you understand you're already part of the family of God, you won't compromise as much. We still miss it. Look at your neighbor and say, yeah, probably, right? We still miss it. We still miss it here and there. But it's not gonna. We're not going to struggle with it as much because we understand I belong in the family of God. And so here we go. Let's read John chapter 1. Because we learned this last week, just a reminder, giving into peer pressure, it causes you to belong wrong. When you belong wrong, you change your behavior to fit in. We don't want to do that. And so here we go. In John chapter 1, it says, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. Now, we talked about this last week. Being in the family of God is a right and a privilege. It says to all. How many is all? How about this side? How many is all? Oh, all's all. Does all leave any out? If you have a bag of M&Ms and you eat all of them, how many are left?
None.
Right? Because all is all. There's none left. And so that's you know, so it says, but to all. And so everybody who's saying, no, you can't come in because of this, you can't come in because of this, you can't come in because of this, to the family of God, you need to read this first. It says, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right, that's a privilege, the right to become children of God. So if we are God's children, who is he to us? He's our Father. You ever notice that Jesus referred to God as Father more than any other way? He always referred to God as Father. He wanted to instill in us that we are children of God, that we have a Father, that this is the family of God. And so when we think about this, it says when you believe and accept him as your Father, it doesn't mean you have him all figured out, right? It doesn't mean you have it all figured out. We have entered into a time and an age where we are just too smart for our own good. And that's why so many things change, because if you can't figure something out, you will change it to make it where you can figure it out. And that is why in our society, things are always changing, because we want to figure everything out. If you can figure out your God, he is too small for you. Amen? He's too small for you. If you can figure out everything about God, he's too small for you. Because if he's only as smart as you, you're in trouble. Amen? Because your smarts got you where you're at. We need more smarts, right? And so we want to make sure that we're not always trying to figure him out, because it doesn't say to all who figured him out. No, it says, but to all who believed him. Believing and figuring out are two different things. And you got to make sure that you don't cross over into that where I got to have it figured out. No, you just got to believe it. And we exercise belief all the time. Because you know what? You might be smart in here, but most of us in here, you know, yesterday in our family, we were, a few people were taking IQ tests. Now you know this is just going to lead to trouble. It's just going to lead to trouble, you know? And so my nephew takes the IQ test. And he is very, very bright. He's very bright. And he scored exceptionally gifted, according to him. All right?
No one saw it.
But nobody saw if there was any Google action going on. You know, you can Google the answers to some questions, right? But he is pretty smart. So once he figured out how smart he was, he wanted everybody else to take the test. Because he wanted to see if we were all as smart as he is. And see, but the thing is that all of us in here are not exceptionally gifted. Don't look around. Now, there may be some exceptionally gifted people in here, but the thing is that we use stuff all the time that we don't have all figured out. I have no idea. I don't even know how my radio works in my car, really, to be honest with you. How does that even work? You turn it on, and music plays from somewhere else. Now, I know some of you guys, you're like, boy, you didn't do too well on that IQ test, did you? You know? I don't know how electricity works. I have no idea. But I turn it on. I don't stand in front of the switch going, all right, now how does this work? I gotta figure this out before I can use this. Before I can use this to blow dry my hair, I gotta figure this totally out. Now how does this work? I don't do that. You know what I do? I plug it in, flip the switch, that's what I do. I do not have it all figured out. You know why? Because I believe it works. Somebody said, hey, this is electricity and it works. And I'm like, great, I'll take it. I don't know how my car works. I get in, I push the button, it goes. I don't even turn a key anymore, I push a button. It's awesome. Unless you accidentally leave the keys somewhere and you drive off. It's happened. Now you're really thinking I didn't do great on that IQ test, aren't you? Truth is, I refuse to take it. I would not take it. I said, I'm not taking it because I don't want you to think in any way you are superior to me. You might be. No, I'm just kidding. But the thing is, you don't have to have it figured out. You just have to believe it. And sometimes people are like, oh, I'm not going to believe it until I know how it works. Well, you need to apply that in every area of your life because you don't know how a lot of things work. You don't know how your iPhone works. Be real. You don't know how that works. It just works. Now, those of you who are exceptionally gifted, you're like, I know how it works. All right, let's see you take it apart and put it back together and see if it still works, right? We don't have everything figured out, but it doesn't say I got to have it figured out. It says I got to believe. But to all who believed him and accepted him. See, people make stuff too complicated when it comes to the things of God. We want people to jump through hoops and look like us, and be like us, and talk like us, before we can accept the fact that they are believers. But the Bible says, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right. I don't earn the right. I don't deserve the right. He gave the right to be called, to become children of God. So if I'm a child of God, that means God is my Father. And belonging to the family of God, it means a couple of things. It says the family of God is beyond flesh and blood. It's beyond that. We're all adopted. Every one of us is adopted into the kingdom of God. You know, I come from a family of seven. I'm the last. And I always say my parents finally got it right. They were able to stop, right? After seven, they got it right. But my brother Michael, who's mean, very mean, and he's preaching somewhere today. But anyway, he's me. And he would always tell me when I was a kid, he'd say, Peggy, you know you're adopted, right? You know you're adopted. Mom and Dad found you. They found you. Now, this is a true story. If you ever see my dad, you can ask him this story. This is how I grew up. This is going to explain a lot to you. So one day I went to my dad, and I was like, I said, Dad, Mike says I'm adopted. Am I adopted? I swear to you, this is what my father told me. This is going to explain a lot about myself to you. He said to me, Peggy, adopted kids are chosen. I wouldn't have picked you. I swear to you, that is what my father said. Adopted kids are picked out. True story. That is a true story. You can ask my dad, he will tell you. That is the truth. And then, of course, he laughed because he's very funny. He's like, no, you're not adopted. We had you. Look at you. You look just like the rest of us. But here's the thing. My dad had a really good point there. Adopted kids are chosen. And the Bible says that I've been chosen. I've been picked. I've been adopted into the family of God. Amen? And that's why we all don't look the same. That's why we all don't sound the same. I've been picked. You know, maybe you grew up and you never got picked on the team. You're the last person kicked for kickball in elementary school. Maybe that was you. That was me too. Don't cry about it. We'll be all right. You know? And then I finally got smart and I thought, you know what? I'm going to be the picker. So when they said, who wants to be the captain? Like, you know, I'm going to turn the tables on this thing, right? And that's where my managerial skills came in. I just told everybody how to play. I don't know how to play, but I'll tell you how to play, right? But here's the thing. We are adopted. My dad understood something. He was joking, but it was so good. He says, adopted kids are picked. You've been picked. Yeah. Amen? God chose you. The Bible says you are a chosen generation, a holy generation. That's you. And so when it comes to the family of God, it is beyond flesh and blood. It is more than that. I've been picked. God has given me the right to become a child of God. I am in this family. You are in this family. And when the enemy comes and says, well, you don't sound like everybody else. You don't look like everybody else. You don't act like everybody else. You can say, it doesn't matter. I'm adopted. I've been picked. I've been chosen. I'm in this family. I belong here. I belong here. Being in the family of God is a right and a privilege. And we can be adopted into the family of God. How? By believing. That's all I got to do. And as a member of the family of God, the Bible says you become his beloved. You become that. And so turn over to Psalms 23 real quick. Just to review last week. What happens when I am in the family of God? There's benefits to that. There's benefits to being in a family. You know, we know when we are brought into a family, you come into it and you get the benefits of who that family is. We have the benefits of being in the family of God. And they're right here. This is the life you can look forward to as a member belonging to the family of God. Now remember, it's so important that you always remind yourself, I don't earn this. I don't earn this. It's given to me. Because the enemy always tries to disqualify everybody, doesn't he? He'll bring up stuff, you don't get this because of what you did here and did here, or, you know, you got this, or, you know, all kinds. The enemy says all kinds of things. But you got to always remind him, you're right, I don't deserve it. When the enemy comes and says, you don't deserve to be a child of God, just tell him you're right. But I get it because it's given to me. Amen. It's given to me. And here's the life we can look forward to in Psalms 23. I love this. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I would say, I love the New Living. It says, I have everything I need. When God is your father, when he is your lead, you know, a shepherd, when he is your shepherd, when he is your father, you'll have everything you need. Isn't that good? You don't have to compromise yourself to belong into this group or this group or this person or that person because you already belong in the family of God. You have what you need. You don't need that person to make you feel better about yourself because you have God as your father and he fills you up. Amen? It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. How many have ever been there? Going through. Keep moving. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's your life. As a child of God, that's your life. And so when things are getting hairy and it seems like you're walking through a valley, you need to remind yourself, I'm walking through this. I don't have to fear evil because the Lord is with me. He's with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. Amen. God is with you. That's a benefit of being in the family of God. And you belong there. Why do you belong there? Because you believe. When you believe, you belong. It's that simple. When you believe, you belong. And you know what? All of us have hang-ups. All of us have stuff that we go through, we deal with. How many got somebody in your family, and sometimes you just look at them like, really? Really? Right? You know, how many want to raise both hands, right? You know? But see, the thing is that every family has that. And the family of God is no different. But the thing is that we belong together, and the benefits of being together is that this is our life. God's going to get you through. It doesn't matter if you fell in the pit, jumped in the pit, got pushed in the pit. The Bible says that God will reach down, pull you out of the pit, set your foot on the rock, and establish your going. That's the benefit of being part of the family. That no matter how you got somewhere, just like the prodigal son, he walked away from God. But as soon as he came back, the benefit of being in the family were right there. That's our benefit of belonging in the family of God. And this isn't to pull you out of your natural family. This is to remind you you're in a spiritual family. Amen? All right, let's keep going here. But as children of God, as belonging in a family, there are responsibilities that we have. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 10. Let's look there. We're in this family, but there's some stuff that goes with it. Just like we all have those relatives, we're kind of like, seriously? Seriously. Right? But we have responsibilities as family members. You know, as being the youngest kid, I can't tell you how many times my brothers and sisters had to take care of me. Whenever we go somewhere, my dad would say to my brother, watch out for your sister. When, of course, my brother would roll his eyes and act like it was the most horrid thing he ever had to do in his whole life was to watch out for me, right? But he's great at it, and he would do that. But as we got older, there was nobody who watched out for me more than my brother Mike and my sister Linda. Let me tell you something. You don't want to mess with my sister Linda, because she would tear you up. I'm not even kidding you. If anybody ever talked about my brother and I, she was right there in their face. She wasn't afraid of anybody, and she would be like, that's my baby brother and my baby sister. And they'd be like, okay, okay. You know, and if you knew my sister, you'd be like that too. Okay, okay. But the thing is that that's what we're supposed to do. The New Testament is filled with one another instructions. See, we're in this family, but part of being in this family is that we take care of one another. And so let me just read some of these to you. In the New Testament, all kinds, there's just a few. It says to love one another, forgive one another, serve one another, greet one another, care for one another, receive one another, wait for one another, submit to one another, edify one another, pray for one another, be devoted to one another, honor one another, live in harmony with one another, accept one another, instruct one another. Everybody wants to do that one. Stop passing judgment on one another and be kind and compassionate to one another. See, there's a lot of benefit that goes with being part of this family, but there's also responsibility with being part of this family. Amen? And one of it is in our family, we're going to make sure that we're doing it the way God wants us to do it. In Galatians 6:10, it says this, therefore, as we have opportunity, notice it doesn't say if we have opportunity. It says, as we have opportunity. In other words, God's saying, listen, you know you're going to have opportunity, and when you have it, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Now, there's that pesky word all again. This word can be pesky because it's saying, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to who? No, no. We don't want to do good to all. We want to do good to people who like us, that are smile at us, that are nice to us. But no, it says be good to all, even people who don't like you. Even people who talk about you. You know, the Bible says we're even to bless and pray for our enemies. That's just crazy talk. But the Bible tells us to do it. And so he's saying here, therefore, as we have the opportunity, doesn't say if, it says as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all. And then it says, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Who's he talking about? He's talking about our fellow believers. He's talking about the family of God. We're supposed to treat each other well. That list of all the things we're supposed to do, love one another, forgive one another. And here's the thing. when we're raised in our own biological families, there are ways that we do things. And sometimes when people get married, because one is raised one way and another is raised another, they get together and there's trouble. Anybody ever experienced that? There are some families, I'm not going to look around a point, there are some families, whenever there's any type of disagreement, the volume rises. And it's just, they're just going to have a knockdown, drag out till it's done. You're not leaving here till this is settled. There are some families like that. There are other families, whenever there is disagreement and there is trouble, no one speaks. No one speaks. They slam. They sigh. They give the evil eye. But no talking. Now, if these two people married each other, we got a no talker and a yeller talker. How many know we're going to have trouble whenever any problem comes? Because this one doesn't want to talk, and this one says, you're not leaving here until you do talk. And the more this one says that, the less this one talks. Until finally, they're just so exhausted from being silent and yelling that it's just over. And so that's why when we get into the family of God, and that's how, you know, that's just culture. Some cultures are like that. Right? You know, we're not going to say what's right, what's wrong. That's just cultural family. But when we get into the family of God, God's saying, okay, now you're in the family of God. So now there's another way to do things. Now let's love one another. Let's forgive one another. Let's submit to one another. Let's edify one another. Let's pray for one another, right? Let's believe the best of one another. He's saying, listen, now that we're in the family of God, so let's rise up a little bit and let's do things according to the word of God. And so when you do that, then when you got the yeller and the non-yeller, what's going to happen? Hopefully, if that marriage is going to work, they're going to get together and say, hey, let's just do it God's way. You know, you got to understand, I'm going to yell a little bit and you're going to be quiet a little bit, but we got to move past that and we got to communicate. Because if we don't, this isn't going to work. And that's just life. That's how it works. There are some things that we are raised in that, thank God, the Bible says you've been raised up with Christ Jesus. You need to be raised out of that. You know what? And there's no such thing as a perfect family. There's no such thing as perfect parents. The only perfect parent there is God the Father. Amen? Amen? And so sometimes you say, you can't use the excuse, well, that's how I was raised. Because Ephesians tells me you've been raised up with Christ. All right, that's how you were raised. That's okay. But now get raised up higher because you are raised up in Christ. And let's not do it the way your mama does it. Let's not do it the way your dad does it. Let's do it the way Jesus does it. Amen? Because that's going to work out better for us. We've been raised up with Christ. You were raised by your parents. You get to this point, and then you're raised up with Christ. And that's part of being in the family of God. We got to change a little bit, and we got to do these one another's. We got to care for one another, be devoted to one another, accept one another. If you've got a yeller, accept that and recognize they're not going to change overnight. Just let them go. Let them go for a little bit. If you got a quiet one, don't push him. Amen? Because you got to pray things through. I don't know why we're going there, but let's praise the Lord. But here's the thing. God gives us these instructions on how we're to care for one another and be with one another. Here's why. Just like, how many of you have ever seen that show where the people have like a zillion kids? Right? What is the name of that show? 20, what, how many? 19 kids in county. Listen, they're only having more kids so they have somebody take care of the kids they have. You know, I mean, you ever notice that? All the kids do all the work. What's up with that? Right? They're having kids so those kids can take care of the kids they already had. But here's the thing. That's exactly how God does it. He uses his kids to take care of all of his kids. And so when the Bible tells us all these one another's, that's how God takes care of each of us. He uses us to take care of each other. How many of you have ever been blessed by another believer? You know, I tell you the other day, I was, you know, just struggling with some things. You know, I struggle with stuff too. And I just some thoughts going through my mind, the enemy just saying stuff, just like he does to you, he does to me. And I tell you right then, about 30 minutes later, I had not talked to her. She had no idea what was going on with me. And Mata sent me a text. She sent me a text. Now, you never know where Aunt Maud is, you know, because she flies all over. And she sent me a text out of the blue, and it was exactly what I needed to hear at exactly that right time. I tell you what, it shook. It was so right on. It shook me on the inside. I was like, man, God is so good. He is so good. And I text her back. I was like, man, I know you hear from God, but you are amazing. I mean, it just blessed me. What happened? God used one of his kids. He used my sister to take care of me. And that's what God does. He uses us to take care of each other. I didn't make this joke up, but I heard somebody tell it. And I thought it was so funny, I'll tell this joke. So there's this lady. She's an older lady. She lived by herself, and she didn't have a lot of money, and she was all on her own. And every morning, she would get up in her apartment, and she would sing, and she would praise the Lord, and she would just glorify God. And she had a neighbor who was an atheist. And every time that she would sing and praise God, it would just aggravate him to no end. And he would be like, there is no God. What is she singing about? So stupid, right? He'd get all upset. And so he was always telling her, quit singing, there's no God, and she would sing louder. And so one day she was praying, and she was singing to the Lord, and she began to pray, and she said, Lord, I don't have any more food, but you know that, and I know you're going to take care of me. I know you're going to bless me. I know you're going to take care of me. And so the atheist, he heard that, and he said, all right, I'm going to get her. I'm going to prove to her there's no God. So he goes to the grocery store, he buys a whole bunch of groceries, and he puts them outside of her door, and he knocks on the door, and he runs in the bushes. So the little old lady comes out, and she sees all the groceries, and she begins to dance and laugh and praise God and thank him. And the atheist jumps out, and he says, God didn't do that, I did that. And so she just started laughing and praising God even more. She was so excited. She was like, oh, glory to God. She ran down the street. So the atheist chases her down the street, and he grabs her, and he said, I told you I did that. And she said, I knew God was going to take care of me, but I didn't know he was going to make the devil pay for it. That was a good one. That was a good one. God uses us to take care of one another, and he also uses other people to take care of us. But even like the verse said, especially those in the household of faith. Amen? We need to be looking for how we can bless one another, because we live in times that are rough. You know, I needed that text that Ann sent me. I needed that. It blessed me. It shook my head, because how many of us have ever let thoughts go too long? Yeah. Let a thought go too long. And I had let a couple of thoughts go too long. And I got that text, and it was like the Lord saying, psh, psh, snap out of it. Snap out of that. And she spoke truth to me and reminded me. I needed that. God used her to bless me. God used her to straighten me out. God used her to encourage me. God used her to edify me. But you know what? She had to be obedient to that prompting of the Lord. But how many times have we talked ourselves out of something when that prompting came, like, hey, encourage that person. Be like, oh, they don't need that, or they don't want to hear that from me, or it's not a big deal. You don't know what a big deal is. But you have a God who knows everything. So when he prompts you, when he moves on you and pushes you to take those opportunities to bless those who are in the household of God especially, and others, we got to take those opportunities, because it's part of the responsibility of being in this family. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord. Maybe you're not close to your biological brothers and sisters. Maybe you don't have any. Maybe you're an only child. But now you're in the family of God. And there is a time you have to take the responsibility of being part of this family. And part of that responsibility is this list. Pray for one another, love one another, edify one another. I can't tell you how many times that, you know, I have friends that I eat lunch with, you know, just about every week. And sometimes they're venting to me, and sometimes I'm venting to them. You know, like, and it's part of being in the family. Where you have someone you can be safe with, and you know they love you, and you know that when they say they're praying for you, they mean it. Amen? There's nothing like that. That's part of being in this family. You belong here. You don't have to compromise yourself to belong somewhere. You already belong here in the family. And I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about the family of God. We have brothers and sisters all over this world. And you know, and speaking of that, just in closing, it's important for us to not forget about our brothers and sisters who are in other places that are not as nice as ours. There is persecution coming to the body of Christ. And we all saw, you know, I'm not getting all political. It's not political. These are events. This is our life that we live in. There is a persecution against the church like we have never seen. Recently, there was a video of 21 men who were martyred for one reason. They said because they were men of the cross. Now, we can sit here and say, oh, I hope that never comes to us. And I hope it never does. But there is a responsibility as believers that those are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we have a responsibility to pray for them. We have a responsibility to stand and speak the word for them. Amen? Even though we're here in our comfy, air-conditioned place where we have rights and privileges as American citizens, not every believer has that. Do you know that they say that every day, every single solitary day, over 300 believers are martyred for their belief? Isn't that crazy? It's crazy, but that's happening. And so I encourage you, as we look for the opportunities to love one another, and that's how you work. Having a close family takes even more work. Having a family that genuinely cares for one another and is there for each other takes even more work. It doesn't just happen. It takes effort. And the Bible says, as you have the opportunity to do good for those. And so let's be that. There's a quote I want to read to you, and I'll close right here. There was a scholar in the second century, and I can't pronounce his name, but he said he was sitting and he was looking, and there were pagans and Christians, and all the pagans, those are people who don't believe in God, all the pagans were watching the believers. And he said this, look at how they love one another. Wouldn't it be better if we as believers were known not for what we're against? Believers are one of the only people that we want to be more known for what we're against than what we're for. We will fight you tooth and nail about what we're against instead of spending that same time talking about what we're for. You know, I've had people come and say, why don't you preach about this? Why don't you preach about that? I'm like, first of all, do not tell me what to preach. That's God's job. That's not yours. That's God's job. But I said, I don't want to preach about all the things I'm against because I believe the Bible has a whole lot more to say about what he's for. Amen. If you concentrate on what he's for, all the other stuff's going to take care of itself. You'll never hear those messages here. If that's the church you're looking for, do what other people have done and leave and go find it. You will not find it here because I'm not going to do it. Because I'd rather be known, look at how they love one another. Amen. I don't want somebody to say, oh, that church is against this and that church is against that. Let not that be said about us. Let them say, look at how they love one another. That's my responsibility as a believer in the body of Christ. Is there sin? Of course there's sin. And I preach on those things. But I'm not going to stand up and say what God is against. Because you know what? The Holy Ghost tells us what is sin and what is not. The Word of God tells me what is sin and what is not sin. But I want to be known for loving. Because that's what Jesus was known for. Amen? That's what Jesus was known for. When people watch us, and they do, wouldn't it be great to overhear someone say, look at how they love one another. Look at how they love one another. You know, even a parent who truly loves his children, those children are corrected. And so there are messages here that are hard to hear, and they're correcting, and we talk about things like that. Sure, you're going to get those messages. But this is going to be done in love. not with a fist pounding on the podium telling you all the things that are wrong with you. Because you know what? The world's done a really good job of telling us all the things that are wrong with us. God wants to tell us all the things that are right with us. Amen. God wants to remind us that no matter how far away we've gotten from Him, He's one step back. God wants to remind us of even if we're the prodigal kid and we're out eating with the pigs, when we come to ourselves and head home, He is there with love, forgiveness, and a reception and a party. Amen? You know, the world wants to just keep condemning you when you make mistakes. But you know what? If you follow God, you'll see that He threw parties for prodigals. Amen? He threw a party for the guy who came back. And that's how we want to be. Let's love one another because it's the love of God that leads to repentance. It's the love of God that draws people into the truth of His Word. Sometimes people aren't ready for the truth, but people are always ready for the love. The love comes first. Amen? Then the rest comes. God is good, and He loves you. And let's be known for taking care of one another. Because whether you like the person in the front row, the back row, the middle row, whether you like them or not, they're your brother and sister in Christ. And it's your responsibility to take care of them. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we glorify You and we thank You that You're so good and so kind and merciful. And we're so, so appreciative that You accept us like we are, that You love us so much and that You meet us right where we're at. But Lord, You love us too much to leave us there, that You do take us through some things, that You teach us, You show us, and You help us to grow to be more like You. But Lord, we just ask that You help each one of us to love each other, to accept each other, to pray for each other, to do good for one another. Because Lord, we accept the responsibility of being in the family of God. And we are thankful to belong. Oh, we thank You for that. In Jesus' name, so I'll say amen. Amen.